It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome to the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, man?
Doing well, guys. Hope you are.
Great, and maybe we'll see if we'll get Kyle from LaGrange Barber in a little bit. We got a guy that has been helping out with the podcast for a good while, and certainly a member of our team. Glad to have back with us, Brendan Shapiro. How are you, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you back in Greenville. I know that you took a holiday break, and glad to have you back. We'll be playing the practice report. Thank you very much. We'll be talking to you just a little bit about the mood. Maybe you can give us a little bit before practice, how things... I know you didn't get a chance to see practice because it's a closed practice but for media, but Brendan was there. We'll be talking about that a little bit. Pirates got a big game, Bubba. I'll tell you what. We'll be talking about stats, but Tulsa coming to town. We're going to release this podcast. You're recording it Tuesday night, so the big game is tomorrow, but you may be listening to this Wednesday morning. It's a huge game at Williams Arena Menzies Coliseum. We want everybody to come out to see the game and be loud.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Pirates seeking a three-game win streak in the American, and believe it or not, folks, this is our sixth year in the league, and that has never happened. So get out to Williams Arena Menzies Coliseum on Wednesday night and help the Pirates make history. Like you said, Frank Hayes Ball Club on Tulsa is 10-6 coming in, and they are actually coming off a big win over Houston, which was rebounding, or excuse me, the Golden Hurricane rebounding from a very big loss at Cincinnati the previous time out.
Yeah, I think the I want to get your take, Brendan. That game on Saturday was unbelievable. The crowd was right before we started the went on the air for recording the podcast. I really thought, I know they said it was 4,000. It sounded like it was a capacity, like standing room only, as loud as it was in that game on Saturday. I really believe that the Pirate fans, Pirate Nation, was the sixth man, and definitely made a huge difference. And I've always heard, I know Dilly's talked about it, there might be anywhere from the difference of 4 to 6 games you can win a year, especially, well, obviously home games, because that's your home crowd. Can make a huge difference, and I thought Saturday really made a huge difference for the Pirates.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I definitely think that the fans have a lot to do with kind of, you know, hyping the team up and making it more, you know, making it a lot more difficult for the opposing team to operate and to focus. And I think that Pirate faithful really showed up this past Saturday, and it really shows you how loud Menzies can be. I mean, that was only half full, and it was deafening. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the crowd shows up tomorrow.
No question about it. I mean, that Bubba was bringing you in because I really felt like with Wednesday night's game, you have an opportunity. It's a Tulsa team. Well, by the way, we have a special guest. Do you want to plug him before we get dive deep in the breaking the game down?
Yeah, here in a little while we'll catch up. You remember back, I guess, right around Thanksgiving, shortly thereafter, we caught up with Ryan Token and Matt Rectein from the Golden Hurricast, a podcast devoted to Tulsa athletics. So we had the opportunity to catch up with Ryan again, and we talked Wednesday night's matchup and what Tulsa has done up to this point in the season. So we'll have that for you here in just a little bit.
Yeah, I really believe my point was, I believe that that Tulsa is a decent team, but it's not going to be a team. I'm not saying to take anybody for granted. I mean, my God, we'll talk about our stats in a little bit. I want you to talk about Dooley, and he's turning this program around. I'm confident of that. We'll talk about that in a minute, Bubba. But I felt like with Tulsa, I remember, Bubba, I'm going to give you credit.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, I remember you talking about, you and I were, and Kyle, we were looking at the schedule, and I know, Brendan, we've talked to you about it. But looking at the schedule, this homestand we had early on in the conference, you said it best, that this was a good chance for us to really get off to a good start. And, you know, if you look at that Wichita State game, and we looked at that, it's like, oh, my God, that's a mountain. But we played very, very well against Wichita. And you're hoping that it's not just, okay, it's the opening of conference play. Hopefully this is not a flash in the pan. And, look, here we are sitting in the conference 2-1. And there's a lot of – we were talking about the parity of the league. There's five teams right now, 2-1, as of yesterday. I haven't looked at the standings today, but there was five teams yesterday that were tied for third place. And considering – it is early, but considering where we were even, what, just a month ago, I mean, look at how much the growth of this program, the growth of the team. We have a chance for Wednesday night's game to really make history, but also – let's help Dooley and his staff and the team out by going, cheering as loud as you can. I told the story before we started the podcast about my daughter. I always get on her for being loud and screaming, and she was looking at me, and I told her, it's okay. That's the great thing about sports. You can be as loud as you want to be. You can scream. You can jump up and down and dance. And she came home and told my mom how, like, she was telling on me that I was dancing, and Daddy was loud and acting crazy and jumping up and down. But I really believe that Wednesday night's game is so crucial. We've got a huge game, gentlemen, on the road on Sunday. We so far haven't won a road game this year. We're 0-4. So that puts – there's many reasons why Wednesday night is a huge game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And like you said, even prior to us playing a game this year, and it goes without saying, after that 2-7 start, it became that much more important. But prior to playing a game, you knew that this stretch that we're currently in, that we're wrapping up tomorrow night, playing eight games at home out of nine ball games, that lone road game being at Wichita State. So you knew this was a stretch that we're really going to have to play well and collect a lot of wins. And fortunately, we've been able to do just that. Hopefully, we can finish the stretch going 7-1 in our last eight. Obviously, the stretch started off very poorly with the loss to Coppin State. But since then, we've played very good basketball.
Yeah, when you giving credit to Kyle when he said it was four games left in the non-conference. Hey, if we could somehow win those four, I mean, we did. And then you play well against Wichita State, and then you've it's hard to believe. I mean, winning two straight, and then we have a chance to win three straight, which never happened. I mean, that's just. But you know, Bubba, make that point for me that you were telling us the last 45 years of our pro basketball program. This will for people that don't know this will blow your mind.
This isn't something I'm saying or we're saying to harp on the negative for sure, but this is just something that will certainly provide some perspective and for those who don't realize how poor East Carolina basketball has been over the years. This program, since I think it was the 1974-75 season, has finished above 500 in conference play just twice. And both of those seasons were 9-7. The first was in 96-97, which was under Joe Dooley. So that year we went 9-7 in the CAA. And then I guess it was, I'm trying to remember which season. I guess it was probably the 2012-2013 season. But one of those years under Lebo, I believe it was, the one I just mentioned because of the CIT run.
Yeah.
But we finished 9-7 that year in Conference USA, and that's it. Other than that, I mean, we had a handful of seasons where we finished 500, but for the most part, it's been certainly sub 500 and a lot of times well below 500. So that just, again, that's not to harp on the negative. That just gives you some perspective and shows the magnitude of what this staff is attempting to accomplish.
Well, that's what you – when it's reality, and it's not something we're making up or twisting the facts or the truth. It is, just like Joe Crotty said, just the facts, ma'am. Well, the facts are that our basketball program has had, like you said, some bright spots, but nothing that you would say you could hang your hat on or the culture. And, you know, Dooley made a good point. He said it's not a rebuild, it's a build. And I think that's what we have to, you know, I know there were fans that were upset, and I was disappointed and frustrated that early slow start. But man, Brennan, when you look at the talent on this team, I was telling you guys before, I've been really impressed with the freshmen. I know with Coleman, he's off to a slow start, but again, as a whole, with the recruiting class that Dooley and the staff put together this past year, plus the transfers, I really believe we're starting to see something special. And I didn't want to say that after Wichita State or the 4-9 conference games, but I think we have a good enough sample the last handful of games that you can say that they're turning the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I think in a few years Dooley will really put together a winning product. I mean, I think we're already seeing the start of it, but you know, it's right. going to take time to really establish that culture. But you know, I think that people in this community and Pirate fans, they're ready for some at least halfway decent basketball. You know, some competitive basketball here.
Right.
We've had historically, not the last few years, but historically a pretty solid football team. We have a fantastic baseball team.
Right.
You know, it's you know, programs. The only program the only main, you know, revenue program that's lacking behind is basketball. We've just never been able to figure it out. I think part of that is it's a result of just being in a state with so many other basketball schools. But, you know, I think that Joe Dooley is, and his staff are recruiting hard. I think that they're going at it full force, and I'm happy to see that.
It's interesting, Bubba. You know, when you and I, somebody asked me, it was actually where I worked. A lady asked me, and she said, I said, absolutely. I said, I'm a diehard. And then she was asking about East Carolina. I said, I'm a diehard fan. I said, recently, I've had a lot to die hard about, except for maybe the baseball program and non-revenue sports are doing well. But having said that, I really believe that, you know, last year we had that win at home against Cincinnati with talent. I mean, that's the thing that is impressive to me is, with the talent coming together, it looks like we have talent to compete in the American. And if somehow you could, you know, out of 12 teams, if somehow you could finish, I'm hoping for eighth place this year. But if even if you don't, you start to see the, I hate to use the term signature wins, but I start to look at the schedule and you know what, hopefully you go from being embarrassment to the next step is where I think we are now. Speaking of keeping things in perspective, I'm doing that for Pirate Nation. There's highs and lows as fans, but I really believe that we're now where that next step is being competitive. You look at Wichita State, there's no moral victories. I hate that term. I'm not a moral victory guy, but I'm starting to believe that, I think, what did you say the record's been? The best we've done in the league is 6-12.
Yeah. The best we've been in the American is 6-12. I think that was our first year back in 14-15, and then also our third year in 16-17, we finished 6-12 as well. And as far as the streaks are concerned, I know, like I said, we've never won three games in a row in the league, and we've only won two in a row and now three times. We'd won two in a row back in 14-15, and then also that following year in 15-16, we also won a couple games in a row, but even in 16-17, when we won six ball games, we were never able to win consecutive games, and we did that year. Finished the year very, very strong, relatively speaking. We won something like five out of our last nine, including a first round conference tournament game.
You guys ready? Before we go to the press conference, Brennan. What did you think about today? I know you didn't see the practice. It's closed practice, so it's not like Brennan got to see practice. But did you get a sense or a feel being in the practice facility? And I know they had the practice, obviously, at Menjie's Williams Arena. Obviously, it's the day before a very crucial game. Every game is big. But, man, if somehow we can win Wednesday night's game, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'm very impressed with that practice facility. I mean, that thing's pretty nice. And
yeah.
The way they've really tried to decorate it and the banners hanging in there. I will say, one thing about the players that I've noticed as a media member is they're all very humble, you know, and nice, and you know, there doesn't seem to be any huge egos that, you know, stick out and kind of, you know, I didn't really get any bad vibes from anyone. You know, everyone seems humble. Everybody seems like they're devoted to turning this thing around, but as a team.
Now, Dave, something kind of building on where Brennan was going with that, a quote that really jumped out at me from Joe Dooley. He said, "I think it's a team that can grow on people. They're young, and they really don't know what they're doing yet, but they do try pretty hard." So he was just talking about how valuable all the practice time during this stretch where we've played 8 out of 9 games at home compared to being on the road so much, and just how important that's been with all these new pieces, having the extra time in the gym.
It was funny, Bubba, and Brennan, I know you've been on break, but great to have you back again. I know that's the life of a college student. We're so happy to have you back, but it was funny. I was talking to Bubba. If coulda, shoulda, woulda, we didn't. But you go, you know, 3-point shooting was terrible at the beginning of the season. And you look at the Liberty game, Liberty is a very good basketball team. But if you take away the Liberty game, there's so many games we were so close, you know, 6 points we lost. I mean, how many times? 2 or 3 times? I mean, where it was like 2 3-pointers. And you look at it and the stats are like, oh my God, our 3-point shooting is awful. And then the defense, it wasn't good. And then we have the issue with free throws have been not our best. But then all of a sudden, above, I don't know what it is recently, but it was like, what, 71% at one point as a team? It was way better than we're used to seeing. So,
yeah, well, a couple games ago, that it was as high as like 74%. But like you said, we've been able to win despite the free throw shooting not being as good as what we would have liked. But as far as that goes, guys, you can certainly use other folks' failures and numbers to try to rationalize anything. That's not what I'm doing. But just the free throw shooting, a game tonight, Clemson taking down Duke, both of those teams, not just Duke.
Yeah, they were awful.
But both of them shot at one point there in the last minute of the game. They were both 10 out of 20 from the free throw line. So it's far from being just the Pirates. We're actually pretty good.
All right. Speaking of the Pirates, you want to go to the practice from earlier today, our media availability. We had Coach Joe Dooley. And obviously, we got two players, thanks to Brennan. We had Charles Coleman and, obviously, Batumbo Rabruti. Let's go to – first we'll go to Coach Dooley, then we'll have Coleman and Brudy, and let's go to the practice report right now.
All right, Coach, well, how's this team gone since the victory on Saturday? How's practice going, and you guys ready to go again?
Well, we were off Sunday. We had to get the guys off, so we came back yesterday. It was the start of school and went yesterday afternoon, and a little sluggish to begin. Got it turned up a little bit, and hopefully get some good work in today.
The confidence has just changed with this team from game one to now. What have you seen from that angle?
I think practice. I mean, I think the guys have figured out that you got to prepare and practice. I think the other thing is we've had some time to practice. I mean, we've practiced together. This is the longest stretch we've had enough bodies to go like we'd like to, and I think it's helped them. I think it's evident that we've gotten better in some areas, and there's still a ways to go.
When you look at Tulsa, that's a veteran bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about them a little bit and what gets your attention.
Well, I mean, Bonner gave us some problems last year, and they've got, you know, Brandon Rochelle is a really good player. They've got some upperclassmen. I think 7 of their top 8 are juniors and seniors. They've been through it. You know, they've played a really good non-conference schedule and you know, had a real big win the other night against Houston, so they'll come in very confidently.
Is part of this now that winning and handling success, maybe people telling them how good they are, you know, handling all that attention in a good way, I guess?
Well, I mean, I think there's stages. I mean, I think, you know, wanting to win, thinking you can win, and then winning are all different, you know, stages, and I think that we're still trying to figure out how to win. And I mean, different times. I think the guys have to, you have to rattle their cages every once in a while, because I do think sometimes, you know, they go away from what got them going.
There seems to be a buzz about EC basketball right now that sometimes there isn't this time of year. How important is it to keep that momentum going, especially, you know, with a hopeful victory for tomorrow night?
Well, I think this is a team that can grow on people. I mean, they're young. They really don't know what they're doing yet. I think they try pretty hard. I think that's what our fans want to see. You know, just give a good, solid effort and continue to get better. And I think they see some young guys that we can grow this program with.
You're playing the Suggs, Newton, Colton, a lot of the freshmen now. How much does those live bullets help with their long-term development?
Long-term, it helps. I mean, it really does. They get to play through mistakes a lot of times when you're in an established program they wouldn't get. You know, it's usually you pull the cord on them real quick if they make a mistake. And, you know, they think the cord's pulled quick anyway. But, I mean, I think they're getting to play through some growing pains, and they'll get better, and they've seen things. And like we talk about, it's going to be a big spring and a big summer for these guys to get bigger, stronger, and you know, get some more reps in.
What do you want to see your team do better at, like, as far as tweaking goes, tomorrow night?
We'd like to play faster. I mean, I think we at times don't play as fast as we can to play to our athleticism. I think that I think we could still get a lot better offensively. We're probably about a month or two behind where we'd like to be for a number of reasons, but I do think we can get better offensively.
Same type thing. I mean, you guys got a lot of excitement brewing all of a sudden at East Carolina Pirate Basketball. The whole town's talking about it. How's that make you feel?
Oh, great. It's especially in the locker room, everybody's like electrified and ready to go out and play tomorrow.
What's been the biggest difference that, you know, over the last couple weeks versus a month ago where this team was?
I think everybody's like bought in, and especially like into practice. It's like competitive like every single day, and I think that helps like translate to the court.
How about winning? How does that build the confidence? I feel like it's totally changed from game one to now.
Oh, great. I mean, with any team, winning definitely builds like confidence, and the more you do that, you know, the more confidence your team has.
You seem to be settling in more every ball game. Talk about your acclimation here, how things are going for you.
Oh yeah, it's been great. I mean, I think every game I've been getting like more comfortable, and I think the team's getting more like comfortable playing like together and with each other.
Has that been hard when you get so many new guys together like you guys have? I mean, that's almost unheard of in college basketball. But has that been kind of difficult early on, especially with the injuries and just trying to learn, you know, one another's game?
To start out, I think everybody was like trying to get to know each other and like learn each other's like different like playing styles. But I think now, and especially like starting like last month, I think everybody's like been gelling like well together.
Let's talk a little bit about the excitement that this team has done, you know, the last couple of games and everything that's been going on with the crowd and the two close wins, and how much momentum you guys have.
I think the momentum is good now. Of course, we have two wins in a row at home. It's always good to win at home, and the crowd has been very, very good for us, and hope more people come watch the games.
How about the confidence of your team right now? How has that changed?
Oh, definitely. Winning builds confidence. And we've won great games and difficult games, and it just makes us more confident in ourselves going forward.
So how much have you guys found out about Temple? I mean, Tulsa coming up here this week, you know, in terms of what they do and what – have you seen them on video? And
well, yes. We watch tape on Tulsa, and but most importantly, like Coach said, we try to work on us and make sure we are ready to play them and not really focus too much on them. But we definitely – watch film, know the tendencies, what they want to do, so we can be more prepared to play them.
So. Have you noticed around campus or during class, or have you noticed a buzz, you know, on that part of campus at all this week?
Not yet. It's second day.
Okay.
Not yet.
How about the crowd during this home stretch? You guys have had a lot of success here at Menjis.
It was good. It was good to have good feedback from the crowd, and more people are coming, and it's exciting. That's what we want, and hopefully they can see good basketball.
Appreciate Coach Joe Dooley taking the time right before practice, about 15 more minutes before practice, and with the media. Thank you again, Brennan, very much for getting him, and obviously Coleman and Broody. Very excited about the game at Williams Arena. It'll be really interesting to see the crowd. Do you guys have a feel? Do you think it'll be about the same? I think it hurts having it on Wednesday night. People go to church the middle of the week. I know people, the students. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to give you a shout-out, Brennan, because not you, because you're always there at every game, part of the Menjis Maniacs. But I tell you one thing, there was a lot of students on Saturday. Was it me? I felt like a lot of students there, more than usual.
I think it was a decent turnout considering the school hadn't even started yet.
Yeah.
On Saturday. School didn't start till yesterday. So, I mean, with that, you know, considering that, I was pleasantly surprised with the amount of students that showed up to support the Pirates. And, you know, over there in the Minji's Maniac section, it got pretty wild.
And yeah,
that's all you can really hope for.
You know? Yeah, I was going to also say that, Bubba, your season tickets with your dad and I know your mom, but it was a great idea on the part of our administration. We give them credit where credit's due, and I think they did a nice job of selling season tickets there on the bleacher section. I guess it's across from where the students are, but that was another thing I noticed in the Charlotte game first, but then I noticed sitting down there was amazing. But then on Saturday, that lower bowl was absolutely going ballistic, going bananas on Saturday, and it was nice to see that how loud it is right near the court.
Yeah, no doubt, and something I wanted to call attention to as far as the environment and atmosphere and the way it was on Saturday afternoon, something that Ryan Robinson put on Twitter, and that's what he just said. He was so appreciative of Cliff Godwin and the baseball program for the entire team showing up, and it's been well documented. Folks have talked about it on the radio since then, and you saw it on TV, the team going over there to celebrate with the baseball players. So that was awesome to see all of them there. And then also, I think at least most, if not all, of the volleyball team was there as well. So that's great to see, and such positive vibes and Pirates supporting Pirates and within ECU athletics. So hopefully that will continue to be the case, and we'll have a good crowd tomorrow night. I know the SMU crowd was a little over 4,000, like we said. Hopefully this one for Tulsa will be pushing 5 or more.
Yeah, you would hope that you do that. More students. I tell you what, I've talked to a number of students that volunteer at where I work, and obviously, Brennan, I don't have a pulse on every student, so I don't know. But they told me that they love ECU, the school. They'll go to support, you know, obviously the big sports with football and basketball. And they're like, has basketball, and they've asked me that question a number of times, has basketball ever been good? I said, we've had our moments, you know, where the bright spots, but they told me, they were like, hey, this is true of any fan. They're like, when the basketball team starts winning or the football team starts winning, we'll definitely be there. And I was like, I know, you should be there anyway, but I get it. Everybody wants a winner, right? And it's frustrating. I know for Brennan, and there's a lot of number of Minji's Maniacs that have been there. They'll be there regardless of good times, bad times, winning, losing. They'll always be there. But that's the thing is that I think the reason why we're having the crowds is we're starting to see, as Joe Dooley said early on, we have to put a winning product on the floor, right? And we have. I mean, they've done an excellent job, and there was a lot of people criticizing Dooley about getting rid of players, and you're like, oh, my God, microwaving, and here we are, 2-7, and then here we are, where all of a sudden we're 500 now, and if people can get out tonight, Wednesday night, if you can get out, please go out there and go to that game. It's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking, and I think that this is one of those games where it's to me, I see it. How do you see it, Bubba? I see it in Brennan. I think this is an even game. This is a game that you could argue that Tulsa can win or East Carolina could win, and I think that's the difference is the atmosphere at the game tonight. It's a home game. Sunday is going to be a huge uphill battle with Cincinnati on the road as well. We haven't won, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast. We've got to get it done on tonight.
Yeah,
no doubt, Dave. And kind of going away from the ball game for just a moment, I mentioned that name, Ryan Robinson, a moment ago, the assistant director for external relations at East Carolina, and then also Eric Ward with sports marketing. Just I know, Brennan, you received some of the coasters of the first 500 fans did on Saturday. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend, but my parents were. So they were able to get a couple of sets and were nice enough to give me one. And those are extremely nice. Just very much like the snow globes that were given away back for the Charlotte game.
Oh, yeah, they're very nice. I think probably the coasters are one of the best promotionals they've ever done.
Yeah,
at least
absolutely.
I thought that they were just going to be, a couple of little plastic, little plastic coasters. But no, I mean, they're legit. There's like a whole collection. Each one has a different logo from a different era. And they have like their own little holder. I was surprised.
Well, that's because of it all comes down to the management. It comes down to administration, and we brag about them all the time. And Ryan joked with us, and we're not getting paid. This is not technically the ECU podcast. Like, we're getting paid by the university or the athletic department. But there's been so many good things they've done, and I think this is another example of they get it. Hey, yeah, it's coasters, but if we're going to do something, we need to do it well. I don't know them very well personally, but the one thing that I've been getting from John Gilbert, Ryan Robinson, all the guys, men and women of the department, is I think there's a lot of people that are screaming, finally, we have leadership who gets it, that is fan-friendly, who by the price of – and let me just say this, too. I have my two kids that go with me all the time to games, and – now you start to see where things are not costing as much. It's nice. I've been, I've actually been putting out more money because I'm doing the old pricing in my head. I have to give them credit, like the hot dogs and different things. They've really come down on the pricing. And, yes, it's probably, more than what we should spend, but it's way better than it was. So I have to give them credit on that as well. All right. Do you guys want to go to Ryan? Hey, do you want to go to our next guest, Bubba?
Yeah, to get a closer look at the Golden Hurricane, we caught up with Ryan Token from the Golden Hurricast, and let's go to that audio right now.
Well, the Pirates have been playing really well lately on the hardwood, and right now Bubba got a big game, hard to believe, Wednesday night, another home game, a big homestand for the Pirates.
Yeah, with the Tulsa Golden Hurricane coming to town on Wednesday night, and we wanted to have a guy back on the show. We talked to him back before the Pirates played Tulsa in football. Hopefully Wednesday's matchup will go a little bit better for the Pirates. But welcome back into the show from the Golden Hurricast, Ryan Token. Ryan, welcome into the program.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for having me back. I really enjoyed it last time we got to talk, so I'm glad I'm back on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I know that with the basketball program, I was looking at the standings, and it's just amazing to me, Ryan, right out of the gate, I was going to say, looking today about how much parity there is in the league, how much of this league is really good basketball. When you look at top to bottom, you can make a really strong argument. It's something we talk about a lot for a P5, a Power 5 league when it comes to basketball, baseball, and football. But anyway, we'll leave that alone right now. But just want to get your take on how things are going so far for Tulsa.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's been really up and down. Hold on, I've got a call on me. I don't want to decline that. Sorry. It's been really up and down so far, which I think has been the case for a lot of schools in the conference, which is weird. Aside from maybe Wichita State, who's been killing it the entire time, it's been a really up and down season for the American in general, and I think that follows for this as well. So we've been, we sit at 10-6 right now. And we've got a team that is really, they're really full of great athletes, but not full of consistent shooters, I wouldn't say. And last year, that wasn't really the case. We had a bunch of really good shooters last year, also good athletes, but I'd say it tends to swing this year towards more athletic but less consistent shooting the three ball specifically. And things like that, I mean, when we're on, we've shown this year that we can really beat anybody when we're playing well. I mean, you just saw – last Saturday, you probably saw that we beat Houston at home, and that was after, after a 30-point loss the game before that. So when we're on, we can beat those guys. Beating Houston Saturday, we beat Temple by 30 just like a week and a half ago. We beat Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt, and then when we're off, it is the total opposite. I mean, we lost Arkansas State at home. and they are a pretty mediocre team. We lost to UT Arlington, who was, I think they're like 6-12 now. We lost to Colorado State, which was basically a home game. It wasn't at our home stadium, but it was here in Tulsa. So games like that, you know, guys just don't show up. And when we're not shooting well, like, our athletes can only do so much. It's really a lack of consistency so far.
Before we dive more into this team specifically, just generally speaking, looking at the big picture, I know Coach Hayes is in his sixth year now. His first couple seasons, he won 20-plus ball games. I think it was year two, went to the NCAAs, and then had a losing season in the last 2 years. He's won 19 and 18 games, respectively. And like you said, 10-6 right now, 2-1 in the American. So what's the fan base's mood and feeling toward Coach Hayes?
Yeah, it's pretty split. I know there are some people just, I mean, my understanding mostly comes from Twitter reactions and things like that. And it seems like, I mean, I know there are people that are very for him, and there are a lot that are very against him at this point. I mean, he's been here for plenty of time. We know what his product kind of generally looks like. And so I'd say, you know, if I were to split it into positives and negatives on Hayes, I'd say his biggest positive, honestly, has been recruiting. He's a solid recruiter. He's done a good job for us. And the players he attracts are usually high-quality guys that perform well on the court. Sadly, that hasn't translated to wins recently as much as it did in his first 2 years, but those weren't his guys either. But the players themselves are solid. Usually under-the-radar type guys, a lot of big-time transfers. Just looking at last year's class, I mean, and it goes back a couple years with these kind of style of guys too, but last year's class was great for us, and they've turned out to be great players so far this season. And that includes Isaiah Hill, who's a freshman for us this year. He's a point guard from Bakersfield, California. He ranks as the sixth best PU recruit of all time. We got two transfers, who both from community college, who are playing this year, and both of them have been solid. One of them is clearly our best player this year. But the transfer that's not our best player, but is still real good, Manny Ugbo, he's got 2 years of eligibility left. He's ranked as the fifth best PU recruit of all time. The guy, I mean, had offers from Arizona, from UConn, Kansas State. I think you guys offered him. LSU, Nebraska, and a bunch more. Like, he was a big-time get for us, and we needed – he's like 7 foot, a big dude. He's been in the starting lineup the last few games too, which has been really solid for us. And then following him, the guy who is clearly our best player this year in Brandon Rochelle from I think it's Pearl River Community College in Louisiana. And he actually is a four-star guy initially out of high school, went to LSU, and, you know, then left, went to community college, and now he's here. And he also had offers from, I think, from you guys, and then from Pitt in West Virginia. And that guy, I mean, I think he leads us in points, rebounds, steals, and blocks. It's amazing. And he's been able to do it all for us. And so when he's on, I mean, the team goes as he and Darian Jackson go. But he's been a big one, too. And then two guys we've got sitting out this year from this class, we've got a Georgia Tech transfer in Curtis Haywood. We have an Arkansas transfer in Keyshawn Embry-Simpson, and both those guys will be huge contributors next year. So he's been killing it on the recruiting trail and continues to. But there are some negatives too. But outside of, I just want to finish out with the final kind of positives. And he's really a player's coach. I mean, you can follow along with Tulsa players on Twitter and stuff like that. And the guys just love him. Hearing them talk about him in interviews and stuff, no one ever says a bad word about Hayes. And, you know, they're not going to do that if they're, you know, being interviewed like that. But even when they leave the program, kind of things, talking about best coaches they've had in their past playing days and stuff like that, they all mention Hayes as being up there. So the players really love him. And I think that goes under the radar with him, I think, that maybe we don't appreciate enough, is Hayes is really, he's really just a classy, collected guy. He doesn't cause problems with media. He doesn't cause problems with fans in terms of getting people riled up for no reason. People just like him, like his overall attitude. So those are the positives for him. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, well, I'm sorry, I thought you were done, about the we had Kelly Hines from Tulsa World on last year talking about the the contract. How much longer is on his contract? Is it another one more year, or how long is it on the contract?
So I don't want to missay this, but he got a 1 year extension at the end of the year last year, which I think means he still has 2 years on this current.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I think he still has 2 years left.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, so we're going to make a decision. If they're going to make, I know Kyle talks about this all the time, but they're going to make a decision. Then if they added a year, then you're stuck with what is it, a year left on the contract after this year?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So, Ryan, one of the things that really stood out to me is you guys had 9 different players that had started at least 4 ball games. And like you said, you have Rochelle, who started 15 out of the 16. And looking at Rochelle and Horn, and those guys have combined to take about a 30-year shots as a team.
Yeah, it's been weird in terms of starting lineup, and that's kind of a Hape staple. It seems like last year he did a similar thing where we would swap out our starting lineup over and over and over again. And usually around conference play time, he lands on the guys he wants to be starting. But it's still like I don't think have landed on the 5 that we're going to be starting every game. And I don't know if we're going to get there all year. It's just I think a lot of it. We have a fairly deep team this year. And so a lot of it will depend on matchups. Like last game against Houston, we started Ugbo because Houston had a big time. They've got a couple big players. So does Cincy. Like big guys. And our guy that's not Ugbo that's usually starting at the 5 for us is Martin Igbanu. And Igbanu's only 6'8". And that's a generous 6'8", I think, for him. Ugbo is, you know, he's a real 7-footer. Like he's a big guy, big physical body. So if we need somebody more like that, then we'll start like that. But it can really change. Like you said, when this team plays well, it's when Brandon Rochelle and Darian Jackson are playing really well. And if we can get the 3-pointer going from, you know, Jariah Horn or Lawson Carita, that is a huge bonus for us too, because 3-point shooting, probably the weakest area of this team in general. I mean, you can look at the Cincinnati game just a few games ago. We lost by 31. And I don't remember what the exact number was, but I think we were 0 for, I think it was 17 from the 3-point line in that game. And that is just disgusting. And then you come back against Houston, we made our first like 3 or 4 in a row at the beginning of the game. And, you know, it just sets us off on a totally different trajectory. So it falls on those guys to get things going. But Rochelle and Jackson and Horn, are definitely the clear leaders.
I was just going to say, Ryan, I haven't had the opportunity to see you guys play yet, but I've, like you were saying, as far as following the games, that Cincinnati game, I knew it was a competitive ball game at halftime, and then all of a sudden I look, and I could not believe it when I saw 75-44 as the final, but then I saw, like you were saying, 0-for-17 from 3, and then it didn't surprise me as much.
Yeah, it was bizarre, man. Like, yeah, it was close that first half, and it was close to start the second half, and then they just took off. I mean, we were both playing pretty badly in that first half, and then it pretty much stayed as Tulsa playing bad, but since he turned it around and they could actually do stuff on offense, and we still couldn't.
Ryan, I was going to ask you, as far as the tournament is concerned, what the fans expect Frank Hayes, Coach Hayes, to get to the NCAAs, NIT. What do you think the expectations? I know they're 10-6 right now, but is it 2-1 in the conference?
2-1, yep.
Okay, so what do they? They look like they're off. Even though I know you said their inconsistency there, some great wins, some good wins there, but also some maybe not so good losses. But what about the fan base? They expect NIT, NCAA. What would they be happy with? The ones I know that you said that are not happy may not be happy. But what about the ones that are happy with them?
Yeah, I think if we make the NIT this year, that's a win for Frank Hayes, and I think he keeps his job, especially if we make the NIT. It's been, like I said, I mean, there was a lot of turnover this year from last year. We lost a bunch of, like, really, really solid players. You might remember Daquan Jeffries from last year. He's now with the Stockton Kings and gets to play up with the Magic often. And then Curran Scott was our leading three-point shooter. He was a 40% three-point shooter last year, and he's now playing with Clemson. So we lost both those guys and Sterling Taplin as well. He's also playing professionally and had to replace 3 big-time talents, right? So that's never an easy thing. And for him to bring in Rochelle, who we didn't know about last year from that community college, he's been everything he was offered up to be and more. Like that guy, he's an absolute baller. So he's been a huge play for us. So if we can make the NIT after all that turnover, I think that's a win. But like I was mentioning earlier, I mean, 2016, 2017, we went 15-17, and then we were 19-12, and then 18-14. I think I saw, I might get this stat a little bit wrong, but I think I saw that's the first time ever that we've been 100 or worse for 3 years straight in KenPom. And after that third year, last year, we gave Hayes an extension, which that really pissed a lot of people off in the Tulsa Golden Hurricane community. because we're, like, historically a very solid basketball program, historically very high in KenPom rankings year over year, and to give them an extension after 3 years in a row of, lower than 100 in KenPom is not great. So he definitely needs, I mean, if he can get back in the top 100 teams and make the NIT, that would be a win. And I think people would be happy with that, especially with the amount of turnover from last year.
Yeah, like you're saying, as far as you guys being a historically strong basketball program, I think back to the late 90s and early 2000s, I guess even going back to the early to mid 90s, I think there's what, like 8 out of 10 years that you guys made the big dance and back in the Western Athletic Conference days.
Yep, absolutely.
I even think that Danny Manning would love to be back with you guys.
I haven't even checked up on Wake Forest this year. Are they struggling again?
Yeah, they're pretty mediocre. They just got beat by 31 at Duke.
Ouch. Yeah. I mean, we loved him here, I'll tell you what, but yeah, he has not seemed like it or hasn't really panned out over there with the DK.
Another coach I wanted to bring up, I know obviously this is Coach Hayes' 6 year, as we stated, but Jerry Wainwright, first year coach on his staff, is a guy that Pirate Nation is very familiar with. He spent nearly a decade guiding the UNC Wilmington program back in the CAA days when East Carolina was in that conference. And so talk a little bit about Coach Wainwright. Have you gotten to know him any or familiar with him at all? Because I know Coach Hayes and him go back to 1989 at Wake Forest.
Yeah, you know, I've heard his name thrown around a lot, and I know he joined, back, I think he got hired in May or June or something of last year. But no, I haven't had a chance really to hear him talk much or know much about his capacity with the team so far, so I can't speak too much to how he's been doing.
All right. As far as can we talk a little bit about football, obviously Pirate fans very devastated to lose to Tulsa. I know the Tulsa's record didn't show how good they really were, a lot of tough losses in football with Philip Montgomery. But I think that he obviously saves his job. He's there. Can you talk about recruiting? Can you talk about the fans? Are the fans happy? What's the reaction to Bill Montgomery keeping his job for another year or so?
Yeah, that's also a mixed reaction. It's a weird time in Tulsa coaching sports world right now. A lot of people are very unhappy with the coaches, and a lot of people are surprisingly optimistic about the coaches, even with the recent results. So I guess that's probably expected behavior. But yeah, I mean, keeping him this year, I understand it. Like, even before this past season started, people were saying that 2020 was the year that this football team was going to be built for, with Zach Smith having another year at quarterback after sitting out the year after, Baylor. And a lot of guys coming back, we really don't lose. We lose hardly anybody on offense, and we lose some big pieces on defense, but we have a lot of depth defensively as well. So a lot of people are super excited for football season next year, and I would not be surprised if we made a bowl game, and we better make a bowl game for Philip Montgomery's sake, because our athletic director, Derek Ragg, came out and made a statement and, doesn't say it in black and white, but basically very clearly said that it's bowl game or bust for Philip Montgomery this year, and he's gone if we don't. So I think that's a very, very reasonable goal. I think if we don't get there, I mean, that will have been 4 straight years of not going to a bowl game, which is, again, like an unprecedented thing for Tulsa football, traditionally a very strong football school. We need to get back to that level of play where we've been in the past. And I think I really do think Montgomery can be a guy to get us there. He's won with us before. We had the 10-win season back in 2016, and he was able to pull that off with those kind of guys. And I think we have all the pieces back together now to get back to that level. So I'm not going to say we're going to be a 10-win team next year, but we'll definitely be there. And in terms of recruiting, like you mentioned, it's been a solid recruiting year. It's Montgomery's best recruiting season in his coming on 6 years with us here. By a pretty decent margin. We got a 4-star recruit, transfer from Oklahoma State, Grayson Boomer. Seth Boomer is a backup quarterback for us right now. And that guy, I mean, he was a big-time quarterback or tight end coming out of high school, and he's going to be a huge help for us. We also got, just yesterday was announced officially, 2 transfers from Texas A&M. We got a linebacker, Brian Johnson, who also had offers from Baylor and Arkansas and those kind of guys. And then we had another A&M transfer who running back, then Eric Prince, also A&M, big-time guy, offers from Arizona, Arkansas, and some other schools too. So really solid class. Outside of the transfers, we had 18 other guys that were straight out of high school, and they should be solid as well.
If Montgomery doesn't get it done this coming season, is there any what kind of relationship did Todd Graham leave behind? Is he somebody that fans look back on positively that you guys may consider bringing back, or people like to screw that guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think a lot of people really want to bring him back. There was chatter of it this year. He's not doing a ton right now, and so people thought about possibly bringing him back. But outside of Todd Graham, I mean, the relationship I think is fine. He was a pretty volatile character during his time here, and how he left wasn't great. But I don't know. I could see it wouldn't be the worst case scenario bringing him. But I don't think that's the direction we are gonna go. Something that we've talked about on the show in the past is bringing in this guy Brennan Marion. He was a former receiver for Tulsa back in the day, one of the best receivers in the NCAA when he played here. And he's been the offensive coordinator, I think it's William and Mary. My sickness is making me blank on this right now. I'm pretty sure it's William and Mary. But that guy, he's been doing a really good job. He's got a book out on offensive strategy, and people are really
high. Yeah, he runs a unique offense. Is he the African-American guy?
Yeah. Oh, it's the go-go offense.
The go-go.
I'm going to be real honest with you. I'd hire Todd Graham.
Over him, you think?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably a common sentiment. I don't blame you. But, yeah, he was more – the Marion thing was more – we don't have an offensive coordinator. Montgomery calls all our plays right now, and he has, since he's been here. And – after the last couple of years of not very productive offense, talk has come up of possibly hiring an offensive coordinator. I mean, he was the guy we looked at.
Yeah.
We were kind of
well. We played William and Mary this year, and I held them to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think 6 points, something like that.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Only scored 6 on you guys? Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, maybe not then.
I guess right now it's we'll see how he does this year and. It's interesting, though, that both – I hadn't thought about that. Both coaches have been there. I know it, but I just forgot that just put two and two together. Both Heath and Montgomery have been there 6 years. I didn't realize that both – I guess I've never thought about it before. That's still a long time for both coaches, and definitely have to
sorry.
Think
I think
their
I,
time
I think
is,
I lost you for a sec. Can you go back a little bit?
Yeah, I was just saying that I forgot that both of them, even though I know it, I didn't think about it, that they both been there. Both coaches, Heath and Montgomery, have been there 6 years. That's a long time. You kind of have a resume. You kind of know what you're getting with both coaches,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, right? So Tulsa, I mean, a lot of schools in the American are cursed with when you have a good coach, they will. The American is like the jump-off spot for coaches who do well to go to a Power 5 job. And
right.
That's been killing us for years, but I'd rather have that, have a successful team, and then lose the head coach and get some up and comer who's going to hopefully be just as successful for you, instead of kind of what we seem to have now, which is, I mean, it almost seems like we're complacent with just, we get the stability of having a coach for longer, but, and we don't lose them, but we're not losing them because we're not doing very well. So I'd much rather have the, do well, lose the coach, get a new one, that cycle.
Yeah, we've had the alternative.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, our Montgomery went to Maryland and the University of Mo, as I call it now, and I think they finished 3-9 in Maryland. So he has a thing with 3-9.
Their offensive coordinator, not their head coach.
Right. Offensive coordinator
right.
from Maryland.
Yeah,
so,
gotcha.
Where do you guys go from here? I know, obviously, we talked about it right before the show. Hard to believe that with 1980, I thought it was later, but. No baseball program. So after basketball, is there any spring sports you guys, or is it just, hey, we've got spring football and let's get ready for next year?
Yeah, for us on the show, we don't do much during the summertime. We usually kind of just take that time off and get ready for next season and kind of relax a little bit. But, yeah, we kind of put the brakes on it. At least that's what we did last year. I'm not sure if that's the plan again for this year or not, but we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, I mean, we pretty much just take it easy. We'll do some spring football. update. We'll put out an episode about the spring game, any kind of recruiting updates, any kind of NBA news, things like that, that happens, general kind of news about that that happens in the offseason.
All right. And Ryan, how can people, as far as social media, how can they follow you there? And obviously, as far as the show, how can they listen to the show?
Yeah, we are at Golden Hurricast on Twitter and Instagram, mostly on Twitter. We don't do a ton on Instagram, but we do a little bit. But yeah, mostly on Twitter there at Golden Hurricast. And if you want to shoot us an email, we are thegoldenhurricast@gmail.com. And then if you want to listen to the show, you can just any podcast player. We're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Google Podcasts, basically all the popular ones. You can just go there and search for the Golden Hurricast, and you'll find us.
Cool, man. Thank you so much, Ryan. Appreciate the time, the visit, and good luck to the Golden Hurricane, obviously, this year, and we'll see how things work out.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I apologize if I was sniffling and you heard that or anything. Got a little bit of a cold today, so sorry for any of that if you heard that.
All right. Well, that's all good. I guess you're playing hurt, playing injured, but we appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. Always a blast coming on.
Thank you very much, Ryan. I'll tell you what, great show. I got to listen to a little bit of it today. But if you get a chance, folks, we were on there. So give them the love, the folks there. The Golden Hurricast really enjoyed Ryan very much, and definitely we'll have him back on very soon. You guys, I'll tell you what, very happy with Jaden Gardner, AAC Player of the Week again. He just, wow, he's a guy that we need to definitely keep him happy. I was looking at the scoreboard, and I was telling you guys yesterday, I was telling Bubba, I know, I looked at the scoreboard, it's 14. They Gardner only had 14 points. My son, Alexander, I was at a press conference, and he was outside the press conference with a friend of mine back in December, and he gave Alexander a high five, and now Alexander's like, my favorite player is Jaden Gardner. And so he said, how many points does he have, Daddy? And I looked up at the scoreboard. I said, 14. I was like, man, he only has 14 points. And then towards the end there, he quietly gets 20 points. And then it's just funny how like the kid like finds a way to score. He finds a way to do the intangibles, the things that fundamentals of the game and different things. He wants to win so bad. And I think that he's willing himself to win by, and now a lot of these guys are feeding off him, don't you think?
Yeah, Jaden Gardner, SMU, like you mentioned, did a tremendous job on him. I can't recall exactly. I want to say he had something like 6 points at halftime, so he really did turn it on in the second half, like you said, and helped us come back from down 13. But yeah, Jaden's done everything Jaden can do. I mean, not that he can't get better, because he certainly can, but I mean, you couldn't ask for more out of a sophomore.
He's only a sophomore.
Yeah. than what Jaden Gardner is giving us. He just brings so much to the table, and both with his production and also some of the intangibles and his leadership and so forth. But then one of the things that really helped us against SMU, you had guys like J.J. Miles, who has struggled a lot up to this point, and he's starting to shoot the ball with a little more consistency. He knocked down three threes and really shot it well in the second half. You also had Tristan Newton and Tyree Jackson, as well as Tremont Robinson-White. All of them had 11 points apiece, and obviously Newton had the big game winner that really stands out. But they are late, a play that I wanted to call attention to that allowed us to tie the game at 66 there with, about a minute and a half left. We had missed a free throw. I think it was Tremont who missed a free throw. It was the second of two. And then Batumba had deflected it, and that allowed Jaden Gardner to get it and lay it in and tie the ball game. And that was one of those plays that can go unnoticed, but was really critical in allowing us to win the game.
Yeah, I think another thing that is very important is, you know, we hit a lot of threes and a lot of, you know, outside shots that it's not always exactly characteristic of our team. I think a lot of times we depend a little too much on Jaden. And, I mean, he really does pick up the load. But I think as we go on in the season, teams are going to start you know, taking notice to the fact that he's so dominant. And I think they're going to start shutting him down, you know, double, triple teaming him. So I think it's important to hit those outside shots to kind of draw some of that attention away from him so he can do his work.
Something else I want to mention, guys, on kind of shifting gears from basketball, I wanted to talk some rankings. Starting off with the final AP poll and as well as the final coaches poll came out. Four American teams ranked in that final poll, and the rankings were actually the same for both poll. You had Memphis ranked 17th in both polls. You had Navy at 20th, Cincinnati at 21st, and UCF at 24th. And then you also had three other teams from the so-called Group of Five conferences. You had App State at 19th, Air Force at 22nd, and then also Boise State at 23rd. And that was in the AP poll. App State was 18th in the coaches, while Air Force and Boise were actually flip-flopped in those, with Boise 22nd and Air Force 23rd. So that was awesome to see the American finish up with that many teams in the poll.
Yeah, it was great because, you know, at some point, we always talk about this, but at some point, the whole stupid Power Five and Group of Five terminology will go away. It's media-driven anyway, autonomy, whatever you want to call it. When you're doing the same thing, it is what it is, Division One, period. And it's just totally dumb. And the other thing is, I've always heard, well, you're going to have to beat the teams, and then you'll get the respect, and you'll finally, well, we're beating the teams. We've been beating the teams consistently. It's not like a shot in the bottle, like every once in a while, like a fluke kind of thing. It's something we're doing on a regular basis. Every single year of the American, we're winning in football, basketball, baseball, I mean, just everything. And so it's frustrating to see that. It is great to see for the league four teams. So a third of the conference is top 25. It's not just one good team in the league. And then the great news is, guys, with Tulane, I mean, there's a whole bunch of teams that the coaching staffs are tremendous. They're doing better. And then with our guest there, with Ryan Token out of the Golden
Hurricast,
I'm sorry, it's getting late. The fact that we're talking to him about Philip Montgomery, they feel like that they're going to, with a recruiting class coming, that what they just had for earlier back in December, they feel like they're going to have a better year coming up. So there's a lot of teams that have been struggling in football and basketball for those two particular sports that they're going to actually do very well, I think, this year. And do I think they're going to win 10, 12 games? No. But I think that there's going to be more teams that, I'll just say it like this, there will be more teams from the bottom of the conference that will be this year, I believe, bowl eligible. The Pirates, I mean, I know Brennan is tired of waiting, but I think that we're going to finally be bowl eligible this year. I really do, even though it's a tough tough schedule, I do think we will be. And I think when you look at the Pirates with the recruiting class, speaking of which, let's talk about C.J. Johnson. How about a great that was a great accolade, Bubba.
Yeah, what a tremendous freshman season C.J. Johnson had. The local product from D.H. Conley High School finished the year with 54 catches for a little over 900 yards and four touchdowns, and he was named to the Football Writers Association of America freshman All-American team, and it was certainly well-deserved. He had a little bit of a slow start to his career, but you know, you could see the potential, and then, man, in October, he just exploded. He had, I was looking at it, he had 33 catches for close to 600 yards, pushing 600 yards in the month of October. And the game that really stands out is obviously that heartbreaking loss to 17th-ranked Cincinnati.
Yeah.
In that day, or in that night, I guess I should say, he had 12 catches for 283 yards. Just unbelievable.
Really was. And, you know, Brennan, he's a player that the good news is I was thinking about this last week, and then I saw the press release from Tom McClellan. Appreciate him very much. He's always been good to me and the podcast to the guys. But I'm so excited because you think about with Holt Nahlers and he both went to DH College. They played together. Excuse me. They actually have two more years together. Can you imagine in 2 years and two more years with recruiting, two more years with Coach Houston and the company and the whole staff? I mean, I really believe that two more years, you can honestly say that we'll be back to what we call Pirate football. A lot has to happen, I know, but what do you think, guys? I mean, don't you think you can see the program heading in the right direction? We're talking about basketball earlier, but the football team with Coach Mike Houston, there's no question about it. I really believe they're heading in the right direction. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but with C.J. Johnson, and we have to give Montgomery credit. His third year, he finally started recruiting like he should have been recruiting the first year. His coaching staff was finally what he needed to be. But that I have to give him props. So a lot of the players, actually the Eastern North Carolina players, for example, in this case, he was able to stay home and east of I-95. And that's what we need every single year. Do we need every single player to be from Eastern North Carolina? No. But we need a lot of good players, local players. That's what brings the butts to the seats when you have a C.J. Johnson, whose family, friends, people that love D.H. Conley, same thing with Holt Nahlers. You could say Kasai Everett with Farmville Central and Travion Freshwater in Elizabeth City. A lot of these guys that we got from that class are local guys, and they're going to be – they may be three stars, Freshwater four, Holton four, but they're going to play like five stars when they're in their local crowd coming to see them in Dowdy-Ficklin.
Yeah, it's awesome to see those local guys, those Eastern North Carolina kids staying home. You mentioned a lot of them in this most recent class, and you have Elijah Robinson, the JUCO product out of Lewisburg, who's originally from Wilmington.
Yeah.
As far as being one of those east of I-95 guys, and then also Javian McCray from down in Brunswick County, playing for former Pirate Brett Hickman. And so, you know, those are a couple of examples in this most recent class, and there were certainly some others as well. But kind of along those lines, guys, Coach Houston talked about how there's going to be 10 mid-year enrollees, and so out of those 10 mid-year enrollees and that just began their academic careers at East Carolina, you have seven on the defensive side of the ball. You have Eric Doctor, also the JUCO products, Henry Garrison and Elijah Robinson, those defensive ends, Javian McCray, Tegan Wilt, Taylor Jackson, and also Jason Romero from down in Scotland County. And then on the offensive side, you have highly touted running back from Burns High School down in South Carolina, Raji Harris, and then offensive lineman Walt Stribling, and then the other ones on the special team side, our 27-year-old Aussie punter, Luke Lawson.
Yeah, I'm very excited. That's a trend in football now to get Australian punters, I guess, the guys are in Australian rules football. But that's been something that Mike Houston's done an excellent job of getting in. You know, games are won and lost a lot by special teams, and some coaches don't put the emphasis on special teams. Coach Houston's done that. He's done a nice job with that. And, you know, we're not Alabama. We're not one of the brand name programs. So my point being is we're not always going to have access to those five-star guys. That's okay. Sometimes we're going to have to win games on a block punt, or look at back in 2008, we had that, but we're going to have to win those games, especially right now with special teams. And Roy Tesh has done a nice job with a special teams coordinator. Let's definitely get behind them. We got a, by the way, I'm not going to tell you what it is now, but we'll tell you, Brendan, off there too. We got a special promotion. We're going to start in February. And I'm telling you folks, you're going to be very excited about it. We'll talk about that. I wanted to tease that. What else do you have, Bubba?
Also wanted to talk about the D1 baseball's preseason poll came out, and the Pirates ranked 21st in that. And they had also had a couple other rankings. I'm trying to remember in another poll, they were something like 23rd or 24th, I want to say. And then the collegiate baseball poll, which is always
36.
Yeah, 36.
That's ridiculous.
But the good news is, I mean, that is great, good exposure for the program, but it means absolutely nothing. And so just cannot wait. It's hard to believe that we're here just, I guess, about 2.5 weeks from the baseball banquet, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, February 1st,
and then just a month from today, actually, as far as opening day against William & Mary.
That's hard to believe, but hey, that's what it's all about. We're looking forward to a great season with Coach Godwin. I'll tell you what, you're talking about basketball and the baseball team being there. It just shows you that Cliff Godwin is definitely more than just a baseball coach. He gets what it means to be a Pirate. Very excited. One of the funniest things was, to me, the cool thing, I don't mean to say funny, was when the Wichita State, there's Cliff Godwin. He was in the huddle. He's like, I mean, he could just see the guy is the real deal, and we got to get behind him. Get your season tickets, by the way, folks, for certainly for football. They have those on sale right now, and baseball. 1-800-DIAL-ECU, and you can also go to ecupirates.com. Get your tickets. Baseball, I'm telling you, folks, another great year. And I think that some people may think that at the worst-case scenario, we'll make a regional. I think the question becomes, do we host another regional? I don't know. Have we ever hosted 3 regionals in a row, Bubba? Not that I can remember.
We never hosted 2 in a row prior to
last year. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, so that would be another historic thing. Coach Godwin was like, hey, guys, put the brakes on. We haven't even started yet. But it's just fun to be able to talk about baseball. And we'll have to get our buddy Corey Glore back on. And Coach Overton, he said he's going to come on again with us. So we'll have them on here pretty soon. And our buddy Ty Seymour, we've got a lot of great guests coming up. Bubba, I know there's more stuff you want to talk about, right?
Yeah, in addition to talking Pirate baseball with Corey Glore and Coach O, we'll have some former Pirate baseball players on, probably guys like Corey Scott and Davey Penny, guys we've had on in the past. Enjoy catching up with those guys and talking about the upcoming season, as well as sharing some memories from their days playing for Coach LeClaire or Coach O, et cetera. But like you said, we'll have longtime color analyst of 20-plus years, Cy Seymour, joining the show to preview Sunday's game at Cincinnati, and then just talking about the season to this point and the progression of this ball club. We'll also have from Cincinnati, we'll have their 24/7, their equivalent of Steve and I go, if you will, Chad Brindle. He's been on the podcast a few times, and he will rejoin us to talk about John Brandon's ball club with the Bearcats.
I'll tell you what, and by the way, there was a poll out today I sent you guys, not to send to you, Brennan, too. There's a poll out, early top 25 poll for college football, and they had Cincinnati and Memphis are on there, are the only two American teams they had on there. Stuart Mandel of The Athletic put that out, and they actually had, and he's going to kill me for saying this, I better not say it, but they actually, I was going to say Brennan's favorite team, but it's not, that was sarcasm. The Tar Heels, they had a 24 on the. I was just, that was one of those shocking takeaways. Pretty much everything. I think I want to say Cincinnati was 18th and Memphis was like 20 or 21, and they had the Tar Heels at 24th. Just thought that was interesting. No,
yeah, that. I mean, coming off a 7-6 season, I get the frustration, and I just, even looking at it objectively, I mean, I don't know what they return next year, so I guess I can't look at it but so objectively. But I'm just knowing the momentum that Mac Brown's brought back to that program, and then Sam Howell having a stellar freshman season, I can see that has not surprised me at all that they're 23rd in that preseason poll. But And of course, this year they took Clemson down to the wire and nearly knocked them off, and had some other near misses. So they won seven and could have won probably 9 or 10. So that did not surprise me at all when you told me that earlier.
Well, it's early. It's something that we can talk about. You know, it's literally the day after the national championship game. I'm embarrassed to say I fell asleep and I was exhausted last night. I even tried to sit in front of my television, and I literally fell asleep on the floor. I was so desperate. So I missed I saw the beginning of the fourth quarter, but I fell asleep in the first minute or two of the fourth quarter. So what did you guys think before we go? What did you think about the national championship game?
I made it. I was able to make it through the entire thing. I did start struggling there with about 9 or 10 minutes left in the ball game when LSU had built that 17-point lead,
yeah.
I guess it was, and you felt pretty confident that they were going to go on to win it. That's when I was on the verge of passing out. But yeah, Clemson, they certainly had things rolling early on. I guess one of the key plays there in late in the first half was
second quarter. Yeah,
yeah, that penalty that they had, the defensive pass interference that allowed LSU to go on and get a touchdown, and so that was a killer for them. But yeah, when they had that 17-7 lead, I certainly thought LSU would put up some points, but I was a little concerned having taken LSU in my contest. I needed them to win by at least six, because at the point that we had picked the game, it was LSU -5.5. So I was a little concerned, but fortunately the Bayou Bengals came back and did it for me, and I'm $100 richer.
There you go. And Brennan, I'll tell you what, it's going to be nice. When what I want to see for our program for East Carolina, we've never been to a New Year's Six Bowl. That's something I want really bad for the program.
Is the Peach Bowl not a New Year's Six Bowl?
No, well, it's different.
Yeah.
It was different back then.
But you're right. Different. Yeah, that was one of the household games. Back then, it was a much bigger deal than it is now to play a game on New Year's Day. That's when all the coveted
right.
bowl games, like the Orange Bowl and Cotton Bowl, Sugar Bowl, et cetera, were played. But before they started being bumped around for various reasons.
Yeah. But certainly that's a big yeah. That's the watermark of the program. I would have to say is that the 11-1 season, most wins and. School history, I mean, easily the Illinois game, the very beginning of the year, we had some questionable calls with that game. It was at Illinois. But anyway, we almost had the perfect – it was really close to being a perfect season. But anyway, that was certainly up there. But just a point of as far as the program is concerned, I really was hoping – I am hoping the next few years with under the leadership of Mike Houston – that we can be knocking at the door. I really believe that. I really believe that he's going to do it. And, hey, we could talk hours about how much we love Mike Houston. It's not the Mike Houston podcast or the fan club, but I am a card-carrying member of the Mike Houston fan club. And Bubba and Kyle we've all been fans of Mike Houston for many years, even before he came to East Carolina. And he was on our podcast in July, the last season of JMU, before he's hired in December. So anybody that thinks that we're not Mike Houston fans, we're a bandwagon. I've known him all the way back to when he was coach at Lenore Ryan, that's when I learned about him, when he took the Division III team, Lenore Ryan and Hickory, to the playoffs. And not only took him to the playoffs, but the national championship game for Division III. So
yeah,
not that I'm having anything to prove here, but anyway.
D2.
I'm going to say D2. God, I am tired. Division 2. Sorry about that. Division 2. But it was a lot of fun for sure to follow his career, and glad to have him. Glad to have Joe Dooley. Glad to have Cliff Godwin. All our coaches, and we'll try to have on more coaches. People ask me that. I had a couple people ask me recently, by the way, Bubba, if we're going to have more ECU coaches on. So we'll work on, I guess that's one of the things they like about that we're doing more than just the Big Three sports. So we try to give as much love as we can. If we did, Brendan knows this, and Bubba and Kyle, if we did a daily show, which we don't have the time to do, then we would been able to do much more and have more coverage. But, you know, yeah, Brendan is a student. He's doing an internship. We have families. We have lives. We have jobs and all that. So we can't always do everything we want, right? I guess that's life.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right.
Well, you guys have anything else before we put this podcast to bed?
No, if you're listening to this early in the day on Wednesday, just get out to Williams Arena Menchie's Coliseum. If you're unable to make it out, you can certainly tune in on ESPN3 and watch the Pirates hopefully pick up their third win in a row and get to 9-8 overall, 3-1 in the American.
And listen to our good friends Jeff Charles and Ty Seymour, Learfield, IMG College. They do a fantastic job. And speaking of fantastic job, thank you, Brennan, for the practice report. Thanks for being on with us. Thank you, Kyle from LaGrange Barber, Bubba Rosenbaum, and Ryan Token. You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.